Now, in all honesty, are there days that you get up that you don't feel like praying? Anybody ever feel that way? You get up in the morning and you don't feel like praying. Am I the only one that feels that way at times? Do you all have that kind of thing going on when you get up in the morning? You just don't. What do you do? What do you do? You just go on by it and go on to work and say, well, good luck to me somewhere today, and you just go on because you're or if you don't feel like praying, what's a good alternative? Let me give you what a good alternative is. If you don't feel like praying, try praising God. Try praising God. Praise comes from a Latin word which means to value or a price on it. It's to acknowledge the character of God. It's to focus on God. I have a good pastor friend. The way he defines praise is, I am just going to brag on God. Brag on God. In other words, it's talking about all of his greatness, and you just focus on him. Now, the question comes to my mind is why? Is God some sort of egomaniac kind of God that says, come on, come on, I need your praise? Listen very carefully. God deeply desires your praise. It's not because he needs it, but he desires it. Why? Why does he desire you to praise him? He'll do fine without it. But he deeply desires for you to praise him. I'll tell you why. Because of what it does for you. He wants you to praise him because of what it will do for you. I'm going to give you 5 reasons. This is a good time to take notes. So there's a pencil right in front of you if you don't have a pencil. And you can just write this down. And I was thinking a moment ago, I think we need to get all of you a journal, so that you can just have paper there and you write down and you can keep notes, and then you have a little background of all if you want to go back to. So I'm giving you enough time to get your paper out and your pencil out. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I think this is so incredibly important that God wants us to praise him. The first one is, number one, as praising God fulfills the very purpose of your life. It fulfills the purpose of your life. Why in the world are you here on planet Earth? Look at Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am, let my very existence, let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. I have that written in my journal. Have you ever thought what you'd like to say in your dying breath? I'm out of here, or help me, or what? Praising God. The psalmist says, my dying breath, I'd like for it, because all that I am. See, praise and worship of God is a way that you are wired to worship and praise something. You're wired and you're just made that way. The shorter version of the Westminster Catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the very reason. That's part of our purpose, is we are wired. Anthropologists will tell you that there's hardly any culture in the history of civilization that has not had some sort of form of worship. Even if it's witchcraft. They have some sort of awareness, and if they don't understand or have God, then they create a God. So to praise and worship is just, we as human beings are wired that way. Now, we are free to worship whomever or whatever we please. But whatever we choose, that will begin to fashion and form our life, whatever that is. So if you choose to worship and praise yourself, then you are the ones that is trying to form and fashion your life. If that focus is outside of yourself and you begin to see God for who He is and let Him begin to be the praise focus of your life, that will begin to form and fashion your life. So number one is that praising God is the fulfillment of your life comes in that. Number two, praise changes your attitude. Praise can actually change your attitude. Do you ever talk to yourself? Sure you do. Things don't go well, and you're kind of shaking your head, and your head is down like this, and says, what in the world has happened to me? You know, why am I so down about this? And the psalmist had a real tough time. And we don't know all of what happened, but he was talking to himself. And we find this recorded in chapter 42, verse 11. He says, why are you in despair? Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. Why are you in so despair, my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? What is happening in me? And then he says, hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. For yet I shall praise Him. No matter what happens, I shall yet praise Him. The help of my countenance and my God. My countenance? What's your countenance? Look at me real carefully. You can stand it. Look at me. You're going to see a dramatic change in my countenance. How's that? That's your countenance. And he says, there's something about praising that changes the very countenance or the attitude in your life. He was down. He was dejected. He was discouraged. You know, I've never outgrown a little song called Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. A lot of times when I'm down, I'll just begin to kind of sing that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are what? But He is what? That's what I needed. I'm weak. You may be discouraged now, but He is strong. There's something about the awareness. You just begin to focus a moment. Do you ever feel like nobody loves you, cares for you? And it's at that moment, you know, if you turn your eyes to say, okay, I don't understand all this. The psalmist says, why are you down? But then you begin to look and just focus on a God that loves you. And you begin to praise Him. Just acknowledge who He is. A God of love in your life and see how it changes. The third reason why I think it's so very important for us to praise God is praising God decentralizes self. We are so selfish and so self-driven that our prayer life can be so focused on ourselves that prayer can actually become depressing because we're just thinking about ourselves. Praising gets your eyes off of yourself. It decentralizes yourself. Notice Psalm 115, verse 1. He said, not to us, and he repeats it again. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. See, he comes over that twice. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but your name give glory. What's the big deal about your name? Well, the name represents a person. When you say Vernon, I'm probably going to turn around because that represents me. You can even say, hey, Vern, and I will still respond. The name represents the person. And so he's saying to the person, God, is it not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, but to you, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. You know, Rick Warren, a number of years ago, wrote this book called Purpose-Driven Life. The first 5 years, it sold over 30 million copies. Just incredible. You know what the first chapter of that book is about? Worship and praise. And the first sentence in the book is what? It's not about you. You've got that, don't you? It's not about you. It's not about you. See, we've got to constantly remind ourselves, what is this life that God has given us? It's not all about us. It's about Him. And the great fulfillment of our life is to look to the one that created us and let him fill us with purpose. You know, it's so different than our culture right now that says, you know, the way that you find the purpose in life, you just look down deep inside and you do a lot of things about what's deep inside and you try to pull it out somewhere. No, this is exactly the opposite. You know, you don't look down deep inside to find the purpose of God. You look outside the one that created you. He made you with a purpose in mind. He made you for what he wants more than anything else in all the world is a loving relationship that will last with forever, forever. Do you know that? Do you have that loving relationship with God that lasts forever? Have you ever come to the place to say, here is my life. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. What's life all about if it's not a love relationship there that looks to God? What's it all about? See, God so desires for us to have that relationship with him, a loving relationship that we focus on him. He knows better about our lives than anybody else. Number four. You still taking notes? What was number one? Okay, just checking. Okay, number four. Number four. Praising God. I like this. And praising God put Satan on the run. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he'd been in the wilderness, and Satan comes to tempt Jesus. Remember the first temptation, he said, okay, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, see those rocks right there? Turn them into bread so you can eat. You've been out here in the wilderness about to starve to death. Take those rocks and turn them into bread. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. Jesus said, no. Man's not to live by bread alone. There's more to it than that. So Satan went back to come at him again. He said, okay, if you are the Son of God, see that point up there on the temple? Why don't you crawl up there and jump off, be the first Superman. You'd be better than Clark Kent. Jump off of that pinnacle. And if you really are the Son of God, he will not let you perish. Jesus said, no. You shall not tempt the Lord, your God. So now Satan comes with all that is within him. And he says, look at all this world out here. You see, what Satan desires and needs is the praise of man. He'll do anything. He'll do anything to get your attention. And he said to Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all this. You remember what Jesus said? No. It's from chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 10. Look. It said, get out of here, Satan. Get out of here. For the scriptures say you must love the Lord your God and serve only him. And then that's what's this last phrase. Then the devil went away. Is it? See, the best defense is a good offense. I love basketball. This is my time of year. You know, we're getting ready for the March Madness, and I watch basketball, and I've got some favorite teams that I watch, and I like to see them win. And I don't know why I get so caught up in that, but I do. But, you know, a basketball team, they can have a tremendous defense. I hear some of the commentators talk about, boy, they really got the defense going. And so, but I'm telling you what, if they don't have an offense to get that ball through the hoop, it doesn't make any difference how good their defense is. And your best defense is not focusing on Satan. It's focusing on God. My dad one time, my dad was so good at, he was kind of homespun in his education. But every once in a while, when we're doing work together or whatever, and he'd say, you know, son, Satan is stronger than you are. That kind of terrified me, you know. He said, here's kind of where you are. And Satan is stronger than you are. But he said, don't ever focus on Satan, because God is stronger than Satan. So don't focus on Satan. Don't worry about how that you deal with him. Just know that your best defense is a good offense. And focus on him. You don't have, so what he's trying to do is set my mind at ease. You don't have to worry about the things that Satan will come at you with, because he will. And he knew that. I was just a young kid. He knew that. But he also knew that if he could just keep me focused on God, that would put Satan on the run. The greatest defense is a great, great offense. Number five, there's another reason why that praise is so very important, is because it can bring a keen awareness to sin. You remember Isaiah, when the king Uzziah died, it was kind of like a president of the nation dying or something traumatic happened. I remember 9/11 coming, and I remember that evening, people just showing up at church. And it's kind of like that, you know, that the king had died. Isaiah went to the temple. And I love the very first verse of Isaiah chapter 6. Look at it in verse 1. He said, I saw the Lord. He goes on to say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He began to talk about what he saw in the Lord. And then in verse 5, then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. Then what he saw was himself. The more clearly you can see God, and praise gets our eyes focused to see God more clearly. And the more clearly we can see him, the better we're going to see the truth about ourselves. Wrong can look and seem so right. Wrong can seem so right. But it's only when we begin to see God in his truth and who he is that we begin to see that. You're well aware that the federal agents are trained to spot counterfeit money. And how they spot counterfeit money is how? They study counterfeit money? No, they study the real thing. And the better they can see that real thing, the better they see the counterfeit. The better we see God, because praise begins to help us see him better. And the better that we can see him, the better we can spot the phony. Better we can see the lies of Satan. The better we can see the wrong that is there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He went on to say that evil hates light. Why is that? Because light exposes evil. And so praise is a practice that helps us so much in that. So you've got the five practices, or the five reasons why to pray. And I'm going to give you some how to do that. How do we do that? Well, number one is start each day in praise. Look at Psalm 92. How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord, to sing in your honor. Most High God, to proclaim your constant love most every morning. Is that right? How often? When you feel like it. God's a forgiving God. He'll understand, you know, when you feel like it. Notice what does it say? How often? Do you do that? So the first thing of how to praise God is you start off every morning that way. In my journal, if you look at my journal, I have the very first thing for Monday is a verse from Psalm. I started this actually when I was in seminary. Billy Graham came to town to do a Billy Graham crusade, and there was an institute of training on evangelism, which I went to. And he challenged all of us in the ministry, read five Psalm and one proverb every day. And so I thought, I'm going to do that. If you do that, you can do that in 1 month and you start all over again. And so I was 3.5 years in seminary, working on a master's degree. Back then, you had to have 96 hours. It's unheard of. 96 hours of graduate work to get a master's degree. I guess we were slower back then because you don't have to have that many hours now. You cruise right on through. But 96 hours, it took me 3.5 years to get through all of that. And for 3.5 years, every morning if I had a Hebrew test, no matter what I had, I'd read 5 Psalms and a proverb. And I found that so very helpful. Do I do that today? No. You know why? I take 1 psalm a day. I try to just focus on that. So in the morning when I open up my journal, I'll take 1 psalm. Just a couple of verses is all I'll take. And I meditate on that. You remember we talked about meditation? I'll read through it and I'll just emphasize 1 word at a time. And that's the way I start. Is praising. I just find that that's so very important for me to do that every single time of psalm. By the way, you know what the word psalm means? Psalm means a song of praise. So it's a great, great praise manual just to open it up. So how do you do that is, first of all, you do it every day. Start off the day that way. Number two, let God's word be your guide. Look in Psalm 56, verse 4. In God whose word I praise, in his word I praise. In other words, in his promises I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can my mortal man do to me? Now, how are you going to praise God without his word? If you did not have the Bible, what would you know about God? Well, the Psalm 19 says you can just look out at nature and see there must be some sort of a creator out there. The stars illuminate at night and all his creation some way tells that there is a God. There is a God. You can kind of tell that without the Bible. There is a God. But nature doesn't tell you anything about what he's like. How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God is holy? It's through his word. So you are you're not capable to praise God without his word. It is his word that gives us direction on that. So what I've done, and I've mentioned this a number of times, and I hope you're doing it, in every Bible that you will find that I have that I read, you'll find I highlight everything that talks about who God is in yellow. And now I've got a praise manual. I just open it up, and it says here, bless the Lord who comes in the name of the Lord. I will bless him from the house. I will bless him. It goes on and on and on. Anywhere you turn in here where there's yellow, it's praise. And I would not know how to do that without God's word. And it's a way to guide me. The other thing is the prayer guide. I don't know if you're using those or not. The prayer guide this week will be on praise. And it'll be a great thing for you. And you go online and get it there. And it's just Psalms and Scripture that will guide you in praising. So every day, you start off the day with what? You start off with praise. Go to the lab and you can print it off if you want. And I think there's some out on the counter. And just begin to go through it. Now, every day has a different psalm. Now, you can come up with your own, but if you want to look at what I put together and kind of how I've done that, then pick one of those up. Number three is praise God by how you live. Words are cheap. When you talk about, you know, praise God, you say that, I hear people saying, well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Words mean nothing to God. without your heart. They mean nothing to God without your heart. How do I know that? Well, look at what he told the Pharisees, chapter 15, verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship is a farce. Your praise, your worship means nothing to God if it's not coming from the heart. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. So how we do this is the way we live. Our lives and the way that we live is what praises God, not just our words. Let me give you some other ways in which we do that in the way we live. I find this interesting. Look at Psalm 100, verse 2. What does it say? Worship the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. But in the New American Standard, it translates it this way. Serve the Lord with gladness. The way you serve God is a way of worship. It's more than just words. It's doing something. It is serving. The Hebrew word there is habad, and you'll find it throughout all the Bible translated, sometimes worship, sometimes serving. By the way, how are you serving God at Briarcliff? Are you serving more than just the service of holding a chair down for 30 minutes or an hour? God has called you. He's gifted you. How could you serve? How could you serve? We want to help you get plugged in a way that you can serve. The more our ministries expand here, the more opportunities expand to serve, to serve. Worship is cheap. This doesn't cost anything. You can slip in here and sit down and do nothing and leave, and that's it. But to praise God, to worship Him, is to worship Him with your life, and part of your life is the way that you serve Him. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Give to the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His presence. When you give, throughout all the Old Testament, the major part of their worship was in their sacrifices they'd give. How well did you worship when those buckets went around? You drop that in there and it just said, praise God. The offering buckets went around and you said, bomp. That's probably what God said, bomp. Did you ever think about that? You know, where your treasure is, where's your heart? You do a lot of talk of praise. But I'll tell you where it's really seen is the sacrifice and give to God. He wants to bless us in that. I can tell you without any question in my mind of God's blessing when I bless Him in giving, or when I praise Him, or when I just focus on and just serving Him. It's a way of praising Him. Would you like to have one more in that of how to live? Okay, here we go. Colossians 3:23. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord and not for people. Here's a big challenge that we have in our society. We worship on Sunday and then we work throughout all the week and has nothing to do with what we just did on Sunday. Wrong. What would happen if you would begin to see worship on Sunday and then worship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? God does not separate those. And if some way we begin to see the workplace and the worship place being all in one. In fact, we're going to have a Bible study coming up in March that's going to focus on this very thing. Is there's going to be a study at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings of how this worship and work come together. God doesn't divide those. Mankind has divided those. And what would happen inside of us if some way that you went to work and who am I going to work for today? I'm going to work for the Lord. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but I'm going to be working for the Lord. And I love it because he says, because you will receive an inheritance based on how well you do your work. Now, your employer may give you a paycheck when you say, he's chintzy, he ought to be giving me a lot more. Well, forget that. Look at how much God's going to give you. You're not going to have that long. It's going to come and go real quickly. But what you have when you get with the Lord will be forever. What kind of inheritance will you have? What kind of inheritance will you have? It says, work, work, work. God's watching. I love the way that one translation says, don't just do the good job when the boss is looking. Work because you're doing it for the Lord. Okay, what's going to be your attitude when you go to work tomorrow? Man, I got this job to do. And I'll have to do it. But I'm looking for, I get to go to a Bible study tonight, you know, and I'm going to really do something spiritual then. What you do in the morning is just as spiritual as what you do today. Begins to change the whole way you look at life and work. Martin Luther says you can milk cows and glorify God. And the cows appreciate it too. Okay. One last one. I like this one. Praise God through song of praise. God has given us music, a great way to lift up. Psalm 149 says, hallelujah, yes, praise the Lord. Sing him a new song. Sing his praise, all his people. Sing to him, sing to him. And then chapter 150 that was read before the message. Did you know that? Go back and count them. In Psalm 150, he says, praise the Lord 12 times in that short chapter. 12 times, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord with all these instruments, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Every way you can, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know what the last phrase of the psalm is? Of all the 150 psalms, the last phrase in the book of Psalms is, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Not just with your lips, but with your giving, with your serving, with the way that you live. In every way that you possibly can. A man by the name of Thomas Kent was an orphan when he was just a very young boy. And his half-sister raised him until he was age 14. Then she sent him off to Winchester College. He did well. Went on from there to Oxford. But he came back to this little school of Winchester, and became the chaplain there. And he began to write kind of prayers and songs for the students to encourage them. And he'd write a song and for them to sing the first thing they'd get up of a morning. And then he'd write, the song would continue, and they would sing another verse of an evening. And then he said, if you can't sleep, I'll give you another verse and you can sing that. You probably know the chorus. What was the first song we sang this morning? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. It's called the doxology, which means praise word, praise the word of God. Wouldn't you like to sing that right now? That's a way of praising. Won't you just stand and let's sing this doxology. Now, what I'm going to be watching for is seeing if it's any countenance change while we're doing this. So I'm going to watch for countenance that will be lifted up in praising God, praising God. So we're going to start off with the doxology, and we're going to go in this last part of the new kind of a new version that's come along this first last few years is praise God, praise God. But anyway, we're going to do that. Now, this means nothing without it's coming from your heart, so just keep that in mind. You don't want this thing to be a farce because it's good music. But it could be just a farce if it's not coming from your heart, okay? And it usually comes out your face and your countenance. So, you ready to go, Luke? Yeah. Let's do it.